Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon. And before we talk about Sue's news, though, I got to mention this. Is it just me, or does it seem coincidental to the folks in the room here that 2 days after O.J. Simpson dies, Ford issued a recall on the Ford Bronco?
Does
that seem like a coincidence to you?
You know, we were watching that video yesterday. And it's from June 17th, 1994. Isn't that it?
Yeah.
And Brad, I'm telling you, you look at that video and you think, wasn't that just like last week? I mean, that video is so ingrained into your consciousness.
Every single person who was alive at that point in time, that's seared into our memory. I'm not going to say it's on par with World War II, but we remember that. We know where we were. Mm-hmm. We know the conversations that we had when that happened. And to me, that's just going to be indelible in terms of the impact. And there's a great article. I won't go into this now. I'll talk about it later. But there's a great article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about how that was a turning point in terms of everything has to be polarized.
Yeah.
And before then, I mean, there were disagreements, but that was really the start of the polarization of our country. We'll dive into that in a minute. Of course, we're joined by Hall of Famer Fred Bottomer. Fred, good to see you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Good to see you.
And Abby is flying the plane today. I'm just making the in-flight announcements, but thank you for being here.
Of course. Happy to be.
And of course, the Sue's news, Sue, we briefly talked about this last hour, but give us some more details about your new show here on KFTK and over on KMOX.
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred has an idea, and that is we're going to play the intro to it because it's so good, and Ryan Wiggins put it together. And we'll start with that because Fred says that makes you want to listen to it.
Welcome to the History of the Lou with Sue.
This is history, real history.
It's so cool to know.
History. You'll be history.
It's history.
I mean, it's why we are where we are now. The history of the Lou.
The history of the Lou.
Welcome to the History of the Lou with Sue. Here's Sue Thomas.
Isn't that cute?
That's
I didn't
so
do anything,
well
right? That's all Ryan. It's all Ryan.
It's all Ryan, but it's all about you, Sue.
Well,
and this show only gets better from there.
That's nice of you to say, Fred. But it's just a show that I've had in my head for a long time. I always would say somebody needs to do a show about all the stories that make up the history of St. Louis. And finally I thought, well, shouldn't that just be me? Because no one's doing it.
Right.
So I have different guests on, and we discuss all kinds of stuff. You know, you may think, oh, gosh, I know the story of the arch. But when you talk to this woman, I spoke to a woman about it that works down there, and she said, do you know they had the land for that arch, and it was a national park in the 30s, even though it didn't get built until the 60s?
Wow. Did not know that.
That Automobile Row, we were second only to Detroit. St. Louis was in automobile manufacturing in the early 1900s.
Wow.
So I've got all these different people on talking about it. And tomorrow will be, Abby knows because she's had to listen to every single one. But we will put on, tomorrow is the Wainwright Building and Automobile Row. So it's going to be 7 a.m. on Sundays on this station. And at 1 p.m. on KMOX, and the 1 p.m. on KMOX, it's going to be either 1 p.m. or 7 p.m., depending on when the Cardinals play.
And I do want to tell you, Sue, I actually convinced somebody one time that the Wainwright Building was named after Adam Wainwright. But there's no truth to that, right?
No, there is no truth to that.
That's what I thought.
Ugh.
And that was the first skyscraper, kind of, sort of?
It really was. And it's here in St. Louis. And here's what I've also learned. A lot of history is disputed. Though I'm sure I will get all kinds of feedback, according to these things.
I think we found that out when we had our guest in earlier this week on this show talking about the World's Fair and some of the firsts that took place at the World's Fair in 1904.
Mm. And I will talk some of these. I've talked to these people in advance, but tomorrow will be the of course, Wainwright and then Automobile Row. The second one will be the Arch. You can't believe this Arch stuff. And then we talk about the World's Fair. I've got Missouri Botanical Gardens and Tower Grove Park because it was Henry Shaw. It's just really some stuff.
Wow.
So I hope people enjoy it.
And what's the airtime again for the show?
It will be 1 or 7 p.m. on KMOX on Saturday, but this Saturday it's at 1. It depends on when the Cardinals play. The next weekend it'll be at 7. And then 7 a.m. every weekend. It doesn't change. 7 a.m. on this station.
Very good. And can folks actually get it as a podcast or download it from the Odyssey site?
Brad, you will appreciate this. Yes, you can get it once it's aired from the Odyssey site. But they are now checking to make sure there are no other History of the Lou with Sue podcasts out there.
Good.
So once corporate has said no other person has done this.
So legal's looking into it?
Uh-huh.
That's good. I hope they're getting paid.
Uh-huh.
So
you know they are.
Oh, I do know they are. I do know they are. And without any further ado, let's hit Sue's news.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's news. Sponsored by Mr. Appliance. Speedy expert service. MrAppliance.com.
Good news. It's National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day, Fred.
Oh, I love a grilled cheese sandwich.
All right. If you were making the ultimate grilled cheese, what would be on it, Fred Bottenheimer?
American cheese.
That's it?
I mean, do you put other stuff on it?
Fred.
Ham. I would put ham on it.
Huh. Yeah, I would not
do
that.
I do like grilled ham and cheese. Yeah. That's good.
That's interesting. Mine is bacon.
Well, bacon.
Yeah. And a thin slice of tomato in there.
Sue, we're on the same page.
Talk to me.
Exactly.
Let us dine.
That's exactly what I want.
Brad, what's yours?
Well, exactly what you said, but I've got to have a side of tomato soup.
I'm not a tomato soup person.
I like the tomato soup because when I dip it in there, in the tomato, do a little dunk in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Everybody loves it, except for me. That's why I put the tomato on it. I don't know why. there was a story. Oh, I love this story. Okay. There was a story out yesterday, and you may have seen this, in USA Today and other places, but USA Today is where I saw it, that described how the U.S. Navy and Coast Guard rescued three guys off of an island in the Pacific. Did you see this?
I did.
Fred.
I did. Call Tom Hanks.
It is nuts. Okay. The guys were fishermen, and they were out on a fishing trip, and apparently they had some high waves that overcame their motor, and they were able to make it to the island, to the beach, but their radio battery ran dry by the time they did that, so they are literally stranded on an island in the Pacific. It's uninhabited. It's small. And finally what happens is a niece calls and says, listen, three of my uncles have been gone for like a week. They never came back from this fishing trip. So the Navy and the Coast Guard get on it, and they've got about 78,000 nautical miles to cover because she wasn't sure where they would go.
No way of knowing.
So the Navy and the Coast Guard team up. But what they did was the guys went on the island and took palm fronds and actually spelled out help, and that's how they found them.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds like a Gilligan's Island
episode. It does. Or Castaway. Or Castaway with Tom Hanks. Because when I heard that story, Sue, I was reminded that I always carry my Swiss Army knife.
That is the smallest one I think I've ever seen, but I guess it'll take care of business.
It takes care of business, and also the courts don't take it away from me when I go to court.
Oh, that's fair.
But still, yeah, it was just like out of Castaway.
Unbelievable.
That is.
So they were gone for a week?
About a week, they say.
Goodness.
They were gone. But I guess they made it to the island. They were only on the island itself for 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
But they survived. They're going to be fine. But
of all my fears, I think drowning or anything with water tops
that.
Like being in a boat and having waves go over your engine.
Fred,
I'm cashing it in right there.
Methinks you're not out on a fishing trip with your, you know what I mean? I don't see you putting yourself in that situation.
No, I've done those like on tour
the
boats.
The charter ones?
Yeah, the charter ones.
Yeah, I always feel safe there. But yeah, three of them. And finally, I can imagine being the niece going, how long do I wait? I would be in a pit. Do I call now? Does it have to be 3 days? I don't know.
I don't know. Glad she called.
But yeah, if you are out there, make sure to make your palm fronds help, because that spared them the time and they saw it. New data shows, and I knew this was a fact. New data shows that grocery shopping on an empty stomach costs you an extra $26 per trip.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if that's the average. I think that sounds just a little bit low. Fred, you like to shop.
Well, I don't know. I think anything you think of that's extra when you go shopping is an extra $26. I can't get out of the store without it being over $100, and I go in for like 7 things.
That's like
it's
Target.
Crazy.
If you go to Target, you can't get out. Brad, are you the grocery shopper?
Actually, my wife and I go together when we can. And we debate the topics when we're in there about whether this is a better deal or that's a better deal. But you know, but just like a 5-year-old, I'm always the one that strays from the list.
Uh-huh.
My wife says, Brad, that's not on the list. I say, I don't care. And I throw it in there. Uh-huh. I'm the worst at that.
What happens when we go shopping? I prefer to go by myself. But when my wife comes with me, I end up just being the gatherer. She'll send me, like you would do with a 10-year-old.
That's right.
You know, go get the paprika. Yeah.
But get this brand now, Freddie.
And then I'll have to send her 7 pictures of it.
Oh, my gosh. Is this the right stuff? Yeah. Yes. That's just how that works. 76% of people agree that they're more likely to spend more if they shop while hungry. And about 60% say they're also more likely to buy more unhealthy foods. The research also found the average person makes 2 grocery runs per week and budgets $162 for their haul. I go about twice a week. Do you go twice a week?
Yeah, twice a week.
Yeah, I think that's about it. That part I agree with. Although it's vague because they don't really break down how much may change depending on the size of the household, 162 is the average. And Fred found this story. I didn't do it last week, but wait, you know what? Nope, I'm going to skip it because I got to get this in. Fred, I loved it, though. It's about spam.
Oh, okay. I love anything to do with spam.
All right, we'll do it.
Don't forget Wordle.
Oh, dang it. Okay, Wordle's more important. Fred. Fred has told me some important and disturbing news.
Disturbing, yes.
I do Wordle every day.
Me too.
I did it when it first came out. I was doing it every day. About 6 months in, I gave up.
Abby?
I'm a horrible speller, so I never even tried.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard that the creators of Wordle say they're running out of words.
Oh, this is...
So you need a 5-letter word. They have this puzzle, a 5-letter word puzzle, every day. And I guess it's New York Times.
It is.
And they think maybe in a couple of years they'll be out of 5-letter words.
Well, don't they just repeat?
Someone said. How about the 5-letter word reuse?
Thank you.
And just use again. But then another person said, we can all graduate to 6-letter words.
Oh.
And do a 6-letter Wordle.
It would be even more challenging.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. So there's that to think about.
Well, one of the funniest things you'll ever hear is us trying to teach Mark Reardon how to play Wordle. suffice it to say, it did not go well.
No.
That's awful, of course, using a 5-letter word. Awful.
Yes, it is awful. Good. Thank you for that. Good. I liked it. I appreciate it. Spotify is planning on rolling out a new feature that will allow users to speed up, mash up, and edit songs. But here's the catch. It will only be available through a new and upcoming subscription level called Super Premium. Now,
never mind.
I don't know if I really want to do all of that. Abby, did the Ute want to do that?
You know, when you said it, I was like, ooh, you know, I could probably do a couple really cool things. Uh-huh. But then you said a new subscription level, and I was like, oh, no, I'm good.
that's the catch.
Yeah, no thanks.
Because you don't want to pay the money either.
I don't want to pay the premium that I'm currently paying, so
yeah,
no thanks. I'm
with
fine.
You. Oh, and for legal and financial reasons, the remixes made won't be able to be shared.
Exactly.
Right.
I was getting ready to wade in. I was getting ready to wade in on it.
Legal side.
I don't see how that could pass muster because who's going to let their work be mangled by people and then make it available? No, I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, you just do it for yourself if you share it. No, you can't be doing that.
Not at all.
Spam, according to the company, says no other state consumes as much spam as Hawaii. I think we've done this before. We know that. The company has partnered with a local artist to create a collector's can, which includes an image of the state flower, the yellow hibiscus. Now, the company says it has sent nearly $1 million in funding and products to Maui after last year's devastating wildfires. And the collector's can is available at retailers in Hawaii, the Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota, and online.
Why do you think spam is so big in Hawaii?
I think it had something to do with the war, and I can't remember exactly what that was, but they needed canned meat out there. I don't know if it was a disaster or if there was something there that caused them to eat canned meat. But then they loved it. Yep. So it's all over the island.
When I was in Hawaii, I had a couple of cab drivers tell me, I'm going for spam for lunch.
It's like a thing.
Wow. It's a thing. Wow.
My dad used to do that. You fry, well, of course, you fry anything, and it's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Sue's News is brought to you by Mr. Appliance, speedy expert service. Go to MrAppliance.com. Wednesday, we talked about it on this show, was National Siblings Day, and Josh and Bo Naylor, both of the Cleveland Guardians, celebrated by each hitting home runs in their game on Wednesday in the same inning. How cool is that? It's actually the 10th time since 1900 the two brothers have hit a homer in the same inning. Others to do it, Hank and Tommy Aaron in 1962, Cal and Billy Ripken in 1990 and 1996, and Justin and B.J. Upton, who did it twice in April of 2013. But this is the first time somebody actually did it on Siblings Day.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? That's it. Sue's News.
That is fantastic. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to take a break. Coming up after the break, Paul Hall. You know Paul. Common Guys film reviews. We're going to talk about Civil War, Greatest Hits, and other movies that are out right now. Next on the Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young in on this sunny, sunny Friday afternoon. How you doing? Glad you're with us this afternoon. Also, someone else who's with us, Paul Hall. You know Paul, Common Guys Film Reviews, commonguy.com. Paul, great to talk to you, sir.
Good to talk to you. How are you doing? That's what I want to know in this whole thing. I mean, ask everyone else.
I know, but I'm always doing well when I go see a movie. And in fact, my wife texted me just yesterday. She texted me a meme of Abraham Lincoln and Mrs. Lincoln in the Lincoln bedroom. And she says to Abe, why don't you ever take me to a show anymore? And so, again, it's a pun on the how Mr. Lincoln passed away. But my point is that we haven't been to see a movie in a couple of weeks now. And so I am so glad to talk to you this afternoon. What's on the docket for the movies today?
Let's talk. We're going to start out today talking about probably the most controversial film to come down the pike in quite some time, generating a lot of talk online, and it has for weeks. And a lot of it is from people who haven't seen the film. So it's a lot of talk of opinions based on a trailer that's out there. It's a new film called Civil War. Have you heard of it?
I have absolutely heard of it. And the reason why I've heard of it is exactly the reason that you mentioned, Paul, and that is that it's getting a lot of buzz because of the political strife that's going on in our country right now.
Yeah, you know, it is. And the part of it that you need to know before you sit down to see Civil War is the film as a whole is very apolitical. A lot of people have glommed onto, well, this is telling this story, this is telling that story, before having seen the story told that director Alex Garland wants to do. It's a story of a photographer played by Kirsten Dunst, who she's a war photographer. She's shot wars all over the world. And war photographers, I'll tell you what, that's a job I would not want ever, whether you're doing it in the backyard or whether you're doing it, you know, in Bosnia or, you know, the Ukraine or wherever we've got a fight going on. So she's been frontline. She's seen the worst of the worst. She's had to take that photo when everybody else's urge may be to help or try to find a way to help. But her job is simply to document, report for the rest of the world. Now she's doing it in her backyard. She comes from Colorado, and she just never imagined a war coming to her homeland. In this case, we get one. Kaylee Spanny, in other words, comes as a young girl. She's kind of got this idea that she wants to also be a war photographer. She idolizes Lee, who's Dunst's character, and she comes from Missouri, actually. She grew up in Missouri, and both of the women say their parents and those they love are back home, and they're probably oblivious to this. They leave it go while this battle rages on the East Coast between interesting pairing factions that'll never bother you, shall we say. It's, I mean, Texas and California are in unison. So let's be honest. If you want to go to real life, how many times would the people in Texas and California be a force?
So it's obviously a work of fiction is what you're saying.
Wow.
Yes, but there's a lot of things that obviously mimic real world. There's a president that's barricaded in the White House. He doesn't want to come out.
And that's Nick Offerman, right? Isn't he the president?
Yeah, it is. He's hardly in here. This is more a story about these photographers and about traversing the homeland of seeing, you know, that gas station you stopped at before, that grocery store you made those two trips to, as you were talking about, every week. And now that grocery store is in ruins. I actually took my wife to see this, and I will say that I, for sure, in her case, she left kind of shaken by it. It is a film that shakes you at your core. Now, let me tell you, this is a very brutal picture. It's war films that we've seen years ago. I heard someone compare one of the scenes in here with Jesse Plemons that mimics something as just as crazy as they saw in The Deer Hunter as far as just, you know, extreme in front of your face. Go on. It shook me when I saw that scene. This is a movie that's going to shake you. I would say I would caution you to compare it to real life, because some of the people that you think you may know are doing some of the things that you think they would never do.
Well, I remember, Paul, when the first Red Dawn movie came out, and obviously it wasn't nearly as graphic as what you're just describing, but the emotional impact of seeing warfare on U.S. soil, because we're accustomed to seeing war movies that take place somewhere else. But when it takes place here, it has a different emotional impact.
Yeah.
Did you experience that here with Civil War?
Yeah, that's exactly the case, Brad. And that was where my wife, as we talked about it after the film, she made it real clear. That's what got to her, is the fact that this is something you always see far away. Mm. You always see it on the other side of the world. And now you're seeing it on, quote unquote, in this film, on the streets of your hometown, on the streets that you know, with the people that you know. And you're seeing the brutality at that level, like, you know, go back to classic war photographer moments, like dragging the body through Mogadishu. You see that in America. You see those close-ups of things that are, you just can't believe. And the thing is, there, the young girl, Spanny, who comes from Missouri, she tags on with these journalists. And in the beginning, you see her as a very young 23, but she looks like she's 12 or 13 when the movie starts. By the end of the movie, which is about a 3 or 4 day journey, she looks like she's aged 15 years.
Wow.
And it shows you that, just, you know, kind of draws that nice little comparison. Even if you're ready for this, you're not ready for this if this ever would happen. So, you know, it's kind of a warning, but yet it's very apolitical. So it's not going to say, these are Republicans, these are Democrats, these are conservatives, these are Muslims, these are Antifa. It's not going to go there. It's going to tell you a story with some generic ideas, and you draw your own conclusion. Civil War is very brutal, but it's very well done.
Paul, was your wife glad she went? Because Abby and I, for instance, are not good at that kind of graphic violence. But it sounds like she might have been happy that she did. Tell me that part.
I don't know that, you know, that's a great, great question too. I mean, I don't know that she was that ecstatic necessarily that she was there to see it, because he really hit her hard. I've taken her to some of the most crazy movies out there at screenings and whatnot. and I've seen her come out of all of them. This one, she came out quiet, contemplative, and it really shook her at her core. And as I asked her a little bit about that, it was the fact that it came home. It wasn't on a cobblestone street that you don't know people that you don't recognize. And the hard thing to watch at times in this movie is you don't know who's the good guys and who the bad guys are. They all look the same.
Right.
You know, they're all the same type of people. They're all Americans from all different walks. And you don't know who you can trust and who you can't. And that's an unnerving type of thing.
Very intriguing. Hey, Paul, I wanted to talk about also the greatest hits, but we're out of time. So if folks want to see what you have to say about these movies, the greatest hits, and other movies, how can they find you online?
Yeah, just hit up comicguy.com on any of the socials. Greatest hits in two seconds here.
Okay.
It's just a movie about time travel and trying to change the past via music. So check that out. It's on Hulu right now. It's free to stream if you've got a Hulu subscription.
We will be checking that out. Paul Hall from comicguy.com. Hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Take care, my friends.
Great to talk to you. Hey, coming up after the break, we've got your friend and mine, Frank Cusimano, next on the Conservative Voice of St. Louis, 97.1 FM Talk. The Mark Reardon Show, Brad Young in this afternoon for Mark. And I got to tell you, I'm excited to talk to Frank Cusimano today. Frank, hey, welcome to the show, my friend.
Good to be with you, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Of course, everybody knows Frank, KSDK Sports Director. And the reason why I'm excited to talk to you, sir, is because I'm an alum of St. Louis University School of Law, and I am so excited about Josh Schertz coming here. And before we get into some of the details like the transfer portal and players, what, from your perspective, what does this mean for St. Louis University in terms of putting the spotlight on basketball?
Well, it's a home run hire. I mean, there's only two coaches in America who won more games than Josh Schertz did last year. And those were the two coaches coaching the national championship game on Monday night. This guy, if you look at the offensive analytics, he's a freaking genius. I mean, they shot 400 threes. They had the best field goal adjusted percentage in the country. They're one of the top free throw shooting teams in the country. There's not a coach in America who doesn't think that Josh Schertz really does some spectacular things on the offensive end. Now, in terms of the portal, first of all, Gibson Giberson entered the portal, and now he has told Josh Schertz he's coming back. So you're getting back a guy who scored 1,800 points. He coached one of the most elite players in America last year in Robbie Avila, who's 6'10", 17.7 rebounds, 4 assists. I'm told by almost everybody close to the situation that he's coming to SLU, and possibly two more starters from that Indiana State team, which won 32. So all of a sudden, there's an infusion of talent like they haven't seen in a long time.
Well, I'm excited. I always catch games every year, and I am so excited about Josh Schertz coming. Thanks for breaking that down. Let's talk about the Blues, because the Blues are still hanging on by a thread. Would it be fair to say that the odds of them making the playoffs are about equal to the odds it takes to win the lottery?
Well, it's close. I think the last time I looked, Hockey Reference had it as about a 2% chance of making it. So they have to win out, and hopefully Las Vegas can lose some games. But they have played better down the stretch, particularly Jordan Kyrou, who's now up to 29 goals. He's one of the more maligned players in St. Louis sports, athletes, period. And yet, at the end of the year, he's going to be over 30 goals. So we'll see what happens, but it doesn't look good. They host a really good Carolina team tonight at Enterprise.
Mm. And Cardinals are starting play against the Diamondbacks tonight in Phoenix. What's your assessment of the Cardinals so far this year? Strengths, weaknesses, offense, defense. What do you like? What do you don't like?
Well, the defense has been really good. The starting pitching has been surprisingly very good because the expectations were so low, but they're just not hitting. And this field, they're going to get Lars Nootbaar back tonight. But, you know, Brad, think about this. The last two seasons, the Cardinals did not have an outfielder hit 20 home runs. That's pretty tough to do in Major League Baseball nowadays, to not have an outfielder hit 20 home runs.
Right.
And this year, you know, nobody's hitting home runs either. Jordan Walker hasn't hit a homer. Victor Scott hasn't hit a homer. Brendan Donovan's hit a couple. So hopefully Nootbaar can give them a real jolt offensively.
Hmm. Yeah, you know who is hitting home runs is, unfortunately, Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. You know what? He may end up with more home runs than the Cardinal outfield combined. You know, look, I don't second guess the Cardinals for making that move because he's been injured so often. It's like the same story. But here's the thing, Brad, you got to count on in life. That when the Cardinals trade an outfielder, that guy's going to explode.
Yeah.
Whether it's Adolis Garcia or Randy Arozarena,
yes.
And now Tyler O'Neill. It's that's just a way of life.
It's a very good club. I want to go back to St. Louis U for just a moment because one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I forgot to ask about it a few moments ago, is NIL, name, image, and likeness. How important is NIL going to be for SLU in terms of drawing other talent through the transfer portal?
Well, Josh Church did not take this job unless he knew what was in their name, image, and likeness bank. Now, I'll say this. In the past, it's been below average. And he told me yesterday he doesn't expect it to be as high as North Carolina, Kentucky, but in the league they play in, they need to be at the top of that name, image, and likeness. And what I said earlier about the three Indiana State players and Gibson Jimerson, it makes me believe that there is money in that bank because you're not getting players by just working hard and developing relationships anymore. A lot of it is going to come down to cold, hard cash.
Yep, you're exactly right. Hey, last topic here, Frank. I want to ask you about Tom Brady, who said this just today.
If somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
So Frank, is there a place in the NFL for Tom Brady? And do we even want to see Tom Brady try to come back again?
Oh, I think we'd want it because we, you know, look, let's face it, on a Sunday afternoon, if the option is watching a quarterback from Carolina or watching Tom Brady quarterback the 49ers, we're watching that game for
sure.
But, yeah, I got to say this. I think that he could not be a quarterback for 17 games. But the San Francisco 49ers tried to bring him back about a year ago. I think in a short situation, like it's maybe four or five games or a playoff run, Tom Brady can still throw the football and he's always in great shape. It'd be a great story. It really would be.
Well, it would be, but I just don't know that if the NFL as a whole wants him to come back.
I don't know. The NFL is all about television ratings, and Tom Brady would definitely deliver that. Again, he couldn't start a season, training camp, play 17 games. But I remember when Kurt Warner had retired and Arizona had a real bad situation at quarterback, and Warner considered coming back at a really advanced age after sitting out for a couple of years. So if these guys can still throw it, everybody, it's like boxers. They all think they got one last good fight in them.
That's a good point. Hey, we got 20 seconds left here, Frank. What do we have coming up on Sports Plus this Sunday evening?
Well, it's a Sports Plus for you because you want to hear more about Josh Schertz. We're sitting him down for an extensive interview on Sunday night at 10:30.
I will be glued to the television, my friend. Frank Cusumano, KSDK Sports Director. Hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good to be with you, Brad.
Great to talk to you. Hey, we got a break here coming up after the break. More of the Mark Reardon Show. Don't go away.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.